know, a few sets. I don't know how else to say it. Because when all the beautiful brachas came out of his mouth, as we know, Balak was not impressed. So he stopped Bilam. And then Balak led Bilam to a different spot, hoping that from this vantage point, something negative might come out of his mouth. And we're going to see that today. Obviously, nothing negative comes out. If anything, more positive. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I am going to mute everybody so that we don't have any background noise, mute all. And then, okay. And then we'll share the screen and we're going to see. So we're going to see today the psukim, which are actually quite beautiful. All right. Let's see. Okay. Share screen and then we'll start. And I don't know, to me it's always just... I don't know, personally, even though it happens so often, I still get so impressed that whatever we learn is so relates to the time. It's as if it's written for today, every time. It's absolutely incredible. It's really mind-boggling. But anyways, so today's set of brachas, which we'll see last week, we had a set of brachas, which mainly the thrust was to show, in a sense, almost Bilam was stating how special the Jews were, and therefore, of course, he can't curse them. So in a sense, almost explaining why he can't curse them. Today, he takes it a step further. Not only can't I curse them, but I have to bless them. Exactly. They're so beloved by God that the only thing that could come out of my mouth is blessings. And also what we find from today, and this is we'll see with underlying theme, is that Hashem tells through Bilam's mouth that the Jewish people should know, they should be certain, they should be aware, they should be certain, and they should be assured that they will enter the land of Israel and that the land of Israel belongs to them. Even though in this few psukim, it doesn't say the words the land of Israel, but we're going to see how the commentaries find that that is a very big part of the message of this set of the brachas. So we'll see in a minute. Okay, so let's look inside. So if you look at your sheets in front of you, last week, as we say, we did the first set, and now we're just going to see Pasuk Yud Aleph. So it's chapter 23, Perek Chaf Gimel, and it's Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Okay, sorry, just have to make this small so we can see everybody here. I don't know what this thing is here. Yeah, sorry. I can't X this. Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay. Vatehi acharisi. Okay, so he says, Vayomer Balak el Bilam. So verse 11. So Balak says to Bilam, Me asisalik lakhoiv oivai. So now obviously Balak is very upset because only beautiful brachas came out. So he says, what have you done to me to curse my enemy, lekachticha, that's why I took you. Vihine beirachta barech. But what have you done? You have, not only haven't you cursed them, but you blessed them. So he's very, very angry. Vayan, so what does Bilam answer? Vayan, so he answers, Vayomer, and he says, Halo yes asher yasem Hashem befi, oisayeshmer ledaber. Whatever Hashem puts into my mouth, that's what I must take heed to speak. And I told you about that. So it's not my fault. I don't have a choice. I have to speak what Hashem says. Okay? Vayomer elav Balak. So Balak says to him, Lecha na'iti el mokayim acher. Come with me, and I'll take you to another spot. Asher tir'enu misham, that you'll see from there, efes katseyu tireh, v'chuloi loisireh. You're going to see an edge, like only a small part, but the entirety you will not see. In other words, perhaps Balak is thinking the reason why the blessings came out and not curses was because he saw the entire Jewish nation. Now I'm going to take him to where you can only see a small portion of them. And from that position, good morning, it's more possible that the blessings will come out. Okay, let's see if that's true. Okay, so he says like this, and then v'kavnei li misham, and then from there you can curse for me. Vayikacheyu state soifim, so it tells exactly where he took him. He took him to the field of lookouts, like, you know, how had Sofim, we call in Israel. Sofim is where you can see. So interesting, what is Sofim? Sofim is a lookout, which is made usually for somebody to observe, perhaps if enemies are coming, you know, to keep guard, to watch. And as he says over here, so he took him to such a position where he would be able to have a very clear view of the Jewish people. Obviously, he wants only a partial view, but a clear view. And then what does he do there? Vayiven Shiva Mizbechais, the same thing. He builds seven altars, Vayal Parva Ayel Bamizbeach, and he brings up a bull and a ram on each of the altars. I just want to see in Rashi, yeah, we said, oh, also interesting. If you look at the bottom where it says, Rosh HaPiska, the top of the peak, Bilam Loi Haya Kaisim Kibalak. We said each one had their strength. So Bilam wasn't even as great a sorcerer as Balak was. What Bilam was more was Bilam was maybe a better prophet in a sense, but he wasn't a great sorcerer. Now what does Balak, so what does Balak see with his sorcery? Sha'asida pirtzali parets b'Yisrael misham. That a rupture would develop in Israel's strength from there. In other words, something negative is going to come out. What was it? Shasham meis Moshe. It was from there that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. And Kisover, and he was under the impression, Shesham Tochol Aleim HaKlola, that there is where the curse would take effect upon them. Vizuhir HaPirtza Sh'ani Raya, and that's the rupture that I see. In other words, he didn't know what the negative thing was. So he thought maybe this is the negative thing, but he didn't realize the negative thing that he sees is that Moshe will pass away. But the commentaries say that even that wasn't, he sees, but he doesn't even know what he's seeing. Meaning that although it's true that when Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, it's terrible for the Jewish people, and it does cause a lack of leadership and a certain lack of clarity. But we know, and this is part of this set of brachas, that the Jewish people are always assured that they will be taken care of by God, and that if one leader passes away, there is another leader, there's more inspiration, and that the Jewish people are not dependent on Moshe to keep their connection to Hashem in that sense. So in other words, even when Moshe passes away, what happens? Yeshua takes over. Not only does he take over, he's the one that actually leads them into the land of Israel, conquers the land of Israel for them. And for Yeshua, we have the incredible miracle that we all know, that the sun stood in Givin, right? And the day was longer, so he was able to win the war. And not only that, but Yerichai, you know, and that's also hinted to, we'll see that they blew those trumpets and the walls of Yerichai come crashing down. So everything you see isn't even what you think you're seeing. In other words, even it looks negative, and perhaps if we were an ordinary nation, it would be disastrous. But you don't get it because we are different to everybody else. Okay, so this is a very powerful thing that runs through the entire beautiful bracha. Okay, we'll go on to the next pasuk. Says Vayomer el Balak. So he says to Balak. So we go to the next page. Hisyatzev koi, and look at these words exactly. Stand koi. Koi is just here, but we know that word koi because we have it often. Okay, we'll see in a minute. Al oilasecha, on your by your burnt offering. And I will be happened upon there. As we know, happened upon, because he knows that he doesn't have the same level of connection as the Jewish leaders. He only gets a happenstance meeting with God. As we said, it's a much more degrading form. It's a much less honorable form. It's like a mikra, like a coincidence almost, even though there's no such thing as coincidence, as we know. But to him, it's like almost Hashem just happens to meet him. But nevertheless, look what he says here. In this pasuk, you have two times the word koi, right? Two times. I want to just show you something. On your booklet that you have next to you, there's two booklets, right? So the second booklet, the one with the commentaries, so if you look at, show you which one. Yeah, actually the first one. Oh, this time it's in order. So on the booklet with the commentaries, you see there's numbers. I made it as clear as I could. It says number one. Do you see that one? It says number one. That's the Rabbeinu Bechai. So he says something very interesting. The Rabbeinu Bechai says, sorry about that. I'll scroll and we'll it. Okay, here. He says beautifully. He says, Hisyatzev kai alasecha v'anoichi yikare kai Omar Bilam. So Bilam says, he ne Yisrael nishanin bischus hakarbonis. So the Jewish people are supported in the merit of the sacrifices. Mima sheiftiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Avram, that which Hashem promised Avram. Koi yihye zaracha. What did Hashem say to Avram? He used those words, so shall be your descendants. Do you remember? And he said, you know, look up and the stars and there'll be so many. And what's the other thing that supports them? V'heim nish'anim b'schus birchas koyanim. What else is something that gives us constant support? The blessings of the, and we know we go, so we're so careful to try to go to shul on Yontif to get these beautiful brachas, and we say it every day in the morning. Koy sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael, right? So you shall bless the Jewish people. So what do we have here? We have two koys. And that's what he says. V'chein amar Moshe k'neged melech edrein koy amar achicha Yisrael. So shall I say to your brother Israel. So that's what this pasuk is referring to. Bilam, as we know, he thinks he's very smart, as we see now with everybody. They think they know. They know, but they don't know. So he knows, he's aware that the Jewish people have special blessings. So he says they have two kais that stand them instead. One is the kai Yezaracha, the blessing to Avraham. One is the blessing that we get constantly from the kaihanim. So I'll tell you what, Balak, Bilam says. Let's arrange something. You stand in this spot, kai. I'll stand in this spot, kai. In other words, I will try to undermine this kai, you will try to undermine this kai, and together we'll make sure that the Jewish people do not get their blessings. Now, obviously, they must have a plan how they're going to undermine it, and we'll see from what they say, you can read what they wanted to say. So what Bilam will say here is that Hashem doesn't see the iniquity, the sins of Yaakov. So obviously, what they would like to try and do is to highlight all the mistakes that the Jewish people have done, and it's not so hard, unfortunately, from when they left Egypt till this point. We've done lots of things wrong, I mean, including the golden calf. And then there was all the small things, constant complaints about the man, about the water, the constant. So they say, well, just, you know, we'll just remind Hashem, you know, about all the mistakes that they made. So you stand here and go against this guy, you stand here, go against this guy, and together we'll wipe out any schus, any merits that they have. Obviously, it doesn't work. But you see how much effort they're putting in to try and eradicate and to get rid of the Jewish people. They're just trying to cover all bases. But as we see, the most beautiful part is that Hashem is two steps ahead. Like Hashem knows it's not going to work because as we can see, and we'll see why. So let's see, let's continue now. We'll go back into the Psukim. Let's see. Okay. And that's also why they bring these sacrifices here also to try and eradicate the special brachas from it. Okay. So now let's go Pasuk Tes Zayin 16. Vayokar Hashem el Bilam. Again, Vayikar. You see that word? Again, he happened. Hashem, not Vayikra, like he says to an honorable prophet, Hashem called. Rather, he happened. So Hashem happened upon Bilam. Vayosem davar befiv. And he says, he puts something into his mouth. Vayomer, and he says, Shuvel Balak v'choy sedaber. Go back to Balak, and so you shall say. Why does it say, Vayosem davar befiv? And he put words into his mouth. It's extra. He could have just said, go back to Balak, and say what I'm going to tell you to say. What are those words showing us? So let's see, Rashi tells us. So Rashi says, Uma hi hasima hazais, and what is this nature of this pudding? Uma chaser hamikra ba'amray, and what would the verse have been lacking had it said, Shuvel Balak, the chay sedaber, go back to Balak, and so you shall say, without mentioning that Hashem put something into Bilam's mouth? Rather, what is it telling us? Kishahaya shaymeya, when Bilam heard, she'einai nirsha lekala, that he's not permitted to curse, right? He knew. Hashem told him again, forget about it, you're not cursing. So what does he want to do? He says, ma ani chayzer etzel Balak letzarei, why am I going back to Balak just to pain him? V'nasun le'akadosh baruch hu, so Hashem put for him, resen v'chaka b'fiv. It's interesting, he put literally a bridle and a hook into his mouth, ka'adam ha'peikeas behemah, like a man who pricks the mouth of an animal, b'chaka, with a hook. And what does he do to him? L'haylicha el asher yirtza. And he leads him where he wants him to go. In other words, he says to Bilam, now you have no more choice. You wanted to do this? You're going to finish it to the end. You think now you can walk away? It's not going to work. You're going to say what I'm putting into your mouth. And that's why Hashem says, Amar le, Hashem says to him, Al karchach, against your will, Toshuv el Balak, you will go back to Balak. You intended negative and you will complete the negative, but it will be positive. Too bad. Okay, so what happens now? Vayavai Elav. And he comes near him. And what happens? Vihinai Nitzav Alei. So he's standing near his sacrifice. And then look, interesting, it says, Visare Mayav Itai, and the officers of Mayav were with him. See, if we would have read it all together now, we would have remembered, good morning, Jenny, we would have remembered Visare Mayav means, and the officers of Mayav. In the other set, it said, V'chol Sare Mayav, and all of, I think there is one there, but you know what, it's missing one. I don't know why, I don't know what happened with the copies, but, oh, you know. I'm sorry. Ive, all right. So sorry. I made more, but anyway. it's not okay, we're gonna get to that booklet in a minute again. But he says it doesn't say the chol sarei Mayav, all of the officers of Mayav, which it said in the first set. Why? Because when Bilam said that first set, and what came out of his mouth? Blessings and not curses. So a lot of the people gave up on him and they left. So here we're left with just a few. Again, it's showing, it's like the honor is going down, less and less and less. Bilam is standing there, ready to, you know, shoot out these words, and there's less people standing there. Okay, let's continue. And then what happens? And now, Vayomer loy Balak, and Balak says to him, Ma diber Hashem, what did Hashem say? So it sounds like he's just asking, but the way the Midrashim tell us, Rashi says, he's saying it in a very demeaning, derogatory way. In other words, he's saying to him, I know that you can't say what you want to say. You can only say what God will tell you to say. In other words, you're not in control at all. You're just a nobody. And now you are just a conduit for Hashem's special bracha. But to us, that's special. But to them, that's like, oh, you're a nobody. And that's why he says it to him. Oh, tell me, what's God going to tell you to say? Not what you want to say. Because you can't say what you want to say. So you can see what's fascinating here. Also, I think we see it all the time. Balak and Bilam are officially allies, right? Officially, you know, they've allied together against the Jewish people. But they can't stand each other, and they treat each other terribly. It doesn't make a difference. It's only when it works for them that they treat each other, you know, it's, in other words, they're exploiting each other. It's not that they're really on the same team. It's just a relationship born because of the hatred that they have for the Jewish people. And unfortunately, that's what we see all the time. Okay, let's see now. Let's come into the beautiful bracha. So in Pasuk 18, here it begins. Vayisa mishalai. And he declaimed. So he lifted his parable, as we mentioned last time. Same thing. So he lifts his voice, and out comes this magnificent parable. And what does he say? Vayomer. And he says, okay, so what does he say? Kum Balak, arise Balak. Ushma, and hear, Ha'azina ade b'nai Tzipar, give ear to me, the son of Tzipar. What will I say? In other words, you don't have a choice. You have to listen to these most incredible things that are going to come out of my mouth. The first thing he says is, Loi ish keil vayichazev. God is not a man that he should be deceitful. Okay? Uven adam vayisnecham. And he is not a human being that he should relent. Relent means he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't go back on what he said. Whatever he promises, that's what's going to happen. Hahu Amar, you're supposed to read it as a question. Hahu Amar, the lo yaseh, would he say and not do? V'diber v'lo yikimena, or speak and not confirm, in other words, and not keep what he said. In other words, right away we can understand. Hashem, we know. Hashem already chose Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. He's already given them the Torah at Har Sinai. And it's amazing. He's promised them everything. You think that you can curse this blessed nation? You think that you're going to be able to prevent them from entering the land of Israel? It's not going to happen. Forget about it. He said it. It's happening. Whatever Hashem says, there's nothing that's going to prevent it from happening. So already we can see here how he's showing that the bruch, that it's impossible to curse. But he's going to say even more how worthy they are of being blessed. I want to just see before we go further, Rashi, also you can see here how it starts off, like, get up and watch. He says, Mitzachek bay. You know, first Balak made fun of Bilam. He says, oh, what's God going to let you say, right? And now Bilam doesn't take quietly. He answers back. He also makes fun of Balak. So what does he say? He mocks him and he says, stand on your feet. You're not permitted to sit when I am sent to you on a mission from Hashem. In other words, stand and listen to what's going to come out of my mouth, even though it's not what you want to come out of my mouth. It's all the things you don't want me to say is what I'm going to say. Too bad. Now, what is this Layish? So let's see what Rashi says beautifully in Rashi 19. So he says, Kfar Nishba Lahem, he has already sworn to the Jewish people, Lahaviyam, as you can see, this is the underlying theme of this bracha, to bring them, Ulahairisham, and to bequeath them, in other words, that they will inherit, Eretz Shiva Amimim, the land of the seven nations, which we know, the land of Canaan, the land of Eretz Israel. Va'atasavor, and you are under the impression, Lahamisam, to put them to death. You think you can get rid of them in Bamidbar in the wilderness? I already promised. There's nothing that you can do that will take this nation away. This nation is here permanently, eternally. Whatever you think is not happening because Hashem promised and he's God and he doesn't go back on his promise. So we can see already how that's the theme, the underlying theme, because as we said, this is what's bothering Balak. What's bothering Balak is two things. He's a little bit afraid for his own nation, but he's also more in the long term afraid that the Jewish people are going into the land of Israel. They will get strong, right? They will inherit and, you know, they will take over the whole country. And then he's the neighboring country. And therefore, he has a lot to be afraid of, as we can see now. Even the neighboring countries, for some reason, seem to be, I don't know what, afraid or don't tolerate anything. So you can see that this is all happening here. And that's what right away Bilam says, forget about it. You have no legs to stand on. It's hopeless. I just want to see if there was any of the mefarshim on that pasuk. Look again at your other sheets. I want to just show you how the Rabbeinu B'chai is on number 2. Hahu amar v'lo yaseh, right? Does he say and he doesn't do? So he says, imhu chayzer l'akadosh baruch hu. Okay, so if it's referring to God, which is how we're reading it, that it's referring to God, that whatever God says he does, then obviously we have to read it as a question. Does he say and not do? But it's interesting. But if you're talking about a person, he says, "V'im beverer b'loshin yedia, yachzar leven adam." If you say that he does and he doesn't do, just read it as a statement. Then obviously we're referring to a person who sometimes can say something and he can't fulfill it, right? Why? Because a person doesn't always control all of the unfolding events. Therefore, even if a person has good intention or bad intention, but they can't always fulfill their intention. So you can see whichever way you're going to read it, it shows that the Jewish people here should feel and can feel very secure, and you, the enemy of the Jewish people, have nothing to stand on. So that's another way to put it. But also, I want to show you something absolutely mind-boggling. Look at number 3. And it says, this is from the Rabbeinu B'chai. Now, the Rabbeinu B'chai should have looked up. I think he lived in the 1200s. Okay, so that's to put in context. Just as we know in history, Muhammad was in the 600s. Is that right? I think so. 600s, does that make sense? Something in that time, yeah? Look what he says. Ube Midrash, it says in the Midrash, Loi ish kel vayichazev. Lefi shetzofa Bilam. So Bilam has prophecy. And what does he see? She'osid Adam Echad, it gives you the chills when you read it, that a person in the future will stand up. Okay, so now this is said a lot before, right? Bilam, we're talking about in the year, okay, I don't know what year it is in the English. It's before the Jewish people even enter the land of Israel, before the first temple is built, which is like about 500 years before the Common Era. So you're talking 1,000 years before Muhammad. That's about 1,000 years, okay? That's when Bilam sees this prophecy. And what does Bilam see? He sees a human being that's going to stand up. And look what he puts in parentheses. B'yishmol, which means Muhammad. That's what he's referring to. Lahatos es ha'olam, to take the world and literally make them stray. Make them make lots of mistakes. Turn them away from God. Why? Because interestingly, at that time, there was a lot of paganism still. There was Christianity, which had taken some people away from paganism, but a lot of the people were still pagans where Muhammad was in that part of the world. But nevertheless, he didn't put them onto one God. He put them onto, a mistaken kind of God, one God, but a mistaken, his version of what one God is. So you can see it's interesting. So some Mefarshim say something interesting. They say that when the Rabbeinu Bachai, again, so putting in context, this is the Rabbeinu Bachai writing this in the 1200s. He lived in Spain. And when he wrote this, so he could have been referring to Muhammad, but he could have also been referring to Christianity. But if he would have written that, he would have been finished. He couldn't have put that into his book. So he could only put this. So whichever one it is, it's with whichever prophet it is whatever, the one that took the world and led them all astray. And unfortunately caused a lot of disaster for us. But fascinating how this is the prophecy that Bilam is already seeing, and that will cause untold suffering to the Jewish people. Amazing already then. Okay. So and then he says, Loi ish kel vayichazev b'toiva, that's in the good way, that Hashem is not a person that he, you know, makes mistakes, so to speak, or that he goes back on his word and he doesn't lie. But he says, Aval kashu aimer, but he says something very beautiful. See, Hashem, whatever he says, he keeps, as we said, right? He's not a liar. I don't know. I think we didn't read that pasuk yet, right? What's the next pasuk? Is it? Just see something. I have a feeling it's the next words. Yeah, it's the next words, I think. So, oh, no, it's these words. Okay, I want to show you something interesting. Because we say God is not a man that he should be deceitful, which means he doesn't lie, right? But, you know, we have a fascinating thing in Yiddishkeit that Hashem promises certain things. And we say that whatever Hashem promises, he's going to keep. Sometimes we say Hashem is honest, but he's not punctual. So sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Okay, but there is an interesting thing that it says, that when, like, for example, a prophet, it says in the name of God that something good will happen. So our belief system is that whatever good prophecies has been said has to come true. No question about it. But if there is a negative prophecy, it doesn't have to come true. Why? And that doesn't make him a false prophet. Why? Because what do we believe in as Jews? There's always an opportunity to do tshuva. And therefore, the negative doesn't have to happen. So when it comes to something positive, Hashem keeps his word no matter what. It's, how do you say it? It's not dependent, it's unconditional. But if it's a negative prophecy, it's conditional. It's conditional if we deserve it when the time comes for it to take place. So that's why you can see over here, it says, Lo yishkel vayichazev. So he is not a man that he should be deceitful, nor a human being that he should relent. But he does relent if we do good. Very interesting with a human being sometimes. Unfortunately, we find it quite difficult if somebody has wronged us to forgive entirely. We try, and that's what we all aspire to, but there's always a bit of a remnant of something, whereas with Hashem, it doesn't work that way. He's not like a human being. And to him, if we do tshuva, it's as if we haven't done the wrong at all. It's not just that it's erased and there's a little mark there, and it's damaged. Now, you know, erase a paper and you can see it. There's no mark left. Sometimes we explain, and Tanya explains beautifully, that when we do tshuva, we connect even closer. Like the example given of a rope. You know, if you tear a rope, right? So then, and then you retie it, and now you have to retie it. So some people say, well, if you retie it, so it's a little bit less strong. But no, if you think about it, now that you've retied the rope, the two ends of the rope are now closer together. So we come closer to Hashem when we have made a mistake and we have done tshuva. Now we come even closer. It's even a closer bond. So you can see here, it's very beautiful how he says. And then he says, of course, he keeps his word, right? Is it possible, Hashem? He never says something and he doesn't keep it. Okay, then he goes on and he says, behold, to bless I have received, right? That's what Bilam is saying. I Hashem has given me blessings to say. So he has blessed and I shall not retract it. I can't retract it. I don't have a choice. It's only going to be blessings that come out of my mouth. And the next bracha is one of the most beautiful ones. I mean, they're all beautiful. But this one is something which has stood us throughout. He says, Lo'yhibit Avein B'Yakov. So there's a few ways to understand this. This is Pasuk Chaf Aleph. He perceived no iniquity, which means no sin, right, in Yaakov. Perceived means he doesn't see sin in Yaakov. V'lo'yra'a amal b'Yisrael. And saw, again, no perversity. So again, he doesn't see anything wrong in the Jewish people. I just want to finish the Pasuk and we'll go back to understand it. Hashem Eloikov Imai, Hashem, his God, is with him. Utruas Melech Bai, such magnificent words. And the friendship, the word trua here, we think of a shofar, and it does also mean that. But trua comes from the word reyos. You know, rey, like we say, v'yahavta l'reyacha kamaycha, or in the song we always sing, you know, it's in one of the Sheva brachas. Ava v'achva shalom v'reyos. Reyos is friendship. And it's even like, but it's a deep friendship. It's a friendship with love. So you can see here what he says. He says that the friendship, meaning the love of the king, is with him, which means that the love of Hashem is always with us. It's impossible to curse them. And not only impossible to curse them, of course it's only possible to bless a people who the king loves. And not only does he love, but how did he start the pasuk? What doesn't Hashem see? He doesn't see any mistakes in us. What does that mean? What does that mean? It's like, you know, it's a simple thing we can understand before we even go deeper. It's like a parent, you know, when the parent comes to parent-teacher conferences and the teacher wants to say something. Nowadays, they're trained how you have to say it so nicely, you know, otherwise. But in the old days, they would say it how it was. But a parent always, my child is perfect, doesn't see anything wrong. I mean, most, obviously we do, but you know, to a parent, the child does no fault. That's what we say. It doesn't matter. Lo yhibit, it says, Hashem doesn't look for the sin. Even when we do sins, he doesn't look. He looks away. He sees it differently. He sees it colored. So like, even when a parent does see their child making a mistake, they don't see it the same way as another person. It's always, thank God, a little bit colored, right? Because we love them. So it's colored. It's, you know, it's a lot more palatable. It's a lot more takeable. It's like
rose glasses.
That's right, Rona. That's the way to put it. You know, it's exactly right. You know what it's explained? It's like what we see in ourselves. And that's really what we're meant to be looking at others. It says, v'yahavta l'reyacha kamaycha, right? See, love another like you love yourself. So that's a very beautiful explanation. We know we have faults, you know, and we will sit there and we will tell you all our faults. Some people will. Most people get to, we're not, you know, in delusion land. We know. But the funny thing is that we live with our faults, I mean, hopefully, if we're healthy, and we take them. Why? Because a person loves themselves. So we know our faults, but we look at ourselves with rose-colored glasses, as we say, and it becomes much easier. It's just sort of colored a bit. It's I don't know, it's like, it softens the edges. That's how we're meant to look at another. Even when we see their faults, because sometimes people have faults. Everybody has faults. We're humans. But we're meant to see them first with the love. And then when we see them with the love, the faults just they don't stand out as much. They don't kill you. They don't hurt you. You look at them differently. Instead, like the way you look at yourself, you look at the faults like, all right, nebach, whatever. What could they do? They didn't have a choice. You justify it. You find ways. It's just not the same edges. And here we can see beautifully, Hashem says, Bilam says, what kind of people are these? These are people that he doesn't even see sin in them. When they've done sin, he doesn't see it. He doesn't see their mistakes. How can I possibly curse them? That's one way to look at it. There are other ways. I'm going to see in a minute. Because fact is, we do make lots of mistakes. Okay, I want to show you. So he says, let's just see how Rashi says, 21 Rashi, lo hibitav and biyakov. So first of all, he says we have to understand it like the Targum. So I want to show you. The Targum is Targum Unkel. So if you look on the bottom, in number 12, it says, I have looked. And there are, that's how the Targum, as we just explained it, and there are no idolaters amongst the house of Jacob, and also no doers of dishonest labor in Israel. What does it mean? There's no. Of course there is, but he doesn't see them. They don't even exist. So there's two ways to explain this. Either truth is they're such a good nation, they don't make mistakes, or even if they do, I don't see it. Let's see how Rashi says. So Rashi says, Dover Acher, or another explanation. Loi hibit, this is the way we're saying it now, really. So really, the truth is like this, that the unkelus is saying it the other way. The unkelus is saying, really, they're perfect. Okay. Oh, so now, what page is it? It is page number 295 on the bottom, and we're going to start 296. So we'll see, he says, Achrei pshutei hu nidrash midrashna. So he says, the truth is that there's another way, the Medrash explains. Loi hibit HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avein Shebi Yaakov. Hashem doesn't look at the sin that Yaakov actually has. So this is on page 296. He says, "Kishahein oivrin al dvara," for when they violate his words, Einoi midakte gachareyin. He's not meticulous with them, lehizbainein, to meditate. So he doesn't look very carefully and scrutinize. Lehizbainein ba'ayliya shalahem, to see their falsity and their perversity. Sheheim oivrim al date, that they violate his laws. So even if he's aware, he sort of looks at it, as we can say, from a distance. It's like he glosses it, you know, makes it glossy, and it's not so bad, and it's not so this. And therefore, he doesn't, there's no harsh punishments coming, because as we started, he loves them, and the love is not taken away. It's unconditional love. So this is something very, very powerful, as he says. I just want to see, Hashem Elekov Imai, right? Hashem, his God is with him. Afilu Machisim, even when they cause anger and they rebel, it says. So we see, even when they do terrible things, he says, Einoi Zaz Mitaychan. So here, he says something even more. So if we do small sins, Hashem could sort of overlook it, right? Or sometimes he can like mitigate or whatever, find justifications or whatever. But even if it's something big and we really do rebel against Hashem, he says, why can't I curse them? Because he doesn't move from their midst. Hashem is with us in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, which means no matter what level we're on. And this means that they have always have the security of Hashem with them, whether they deserve it or not. And this is a very powerful thing. And then he says, "Utruas melech," as we explained. So one thing is lashon chiba v'reyus, as he says, dearness, love, and friendship, which is, and he brings other psukim, which shows that the word reyus is to do with love and friendship. He says, Reya David, he who loves David. Give that's a pasuk that shows us. And mirehu, and he gave her to his friend. And he says, "Ushchinas malkayim beineyon," that's how the Targum explains. And the Shekhinah, the imminent presence of the king, is among them. So that's one way to explain it. I want to go to see, there's other commentaries before we go further. Let me just see. See if there's one here. Oh, I want to show you something very nice. In number number seven. Look at number seven at your sheets. He says, V'yesh mefarshim. So he says, some people explain, Eimasai Hashem Elikav Yimai. When is Hashem with us? When we are cleaving to Hashem, meaning when we love Hashem. So it means both things. Hashem loves us, but the truth is that when is Hashem's presence more felt? When we love Hashem. So when we love Hashem, it becomes revealed, the relationship. And that's why he says, Reyus ki az yelamayla min amazolus, then our whole and way we operate are higher than the constellations, means supernaturally. So when we cleave to Hashem, then we receive a treatment which is supernatural. And then also we say in the number 8, he says, Lefishi Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he says, Hashem is with us, right? Like the friendship of the king. So when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Hoysa Bekayach Gadol, it was with, like, as we say, with a big strength, and Biyat Chazaka, with a strong arm. Vehu Dvar Moshe, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Asher Haytseisa Meiretz Mitzrayim, Bekayach Gadol, Ubiyat Chazaka, took you out of Egypt with great strength, and, you know, as we say, Lekach Hiskirkan, Hashem Elokavim. That's why he mentions here that Hashem is with them. What does that mean? Hashem Elokav. He's using the two names of God, which is Hashem Shehu Elokav, God who is God. What does Elokav mean? We always say Elokim means strength. That's what it is, because it's Gvura. Gvura means strength. So God, as we say, is this great strength, which gives us incredible security, that sense of security. So it's a God of love, but the God also of great strength, which means, in this case, it means a God that will be there to defend us against anything that is dangerous, that's harming us. I wanted to show you, there's another beautiful one. Let me see which one it is here. On the next page, I want to find it, because a very beautiful one with Reyus, we say, there's other ones of Amal, but before we go to that one, I'll just finish. I'll show you number 15. Look, I want to show you something in number 15. I know it's a small little one, the Sfarnu. It says, Utruas Melech Bay. It's in this second booklet. So if you turn the page in this other booklet, there's numbers. I made it so we can find it. And there's a number 15. This booklet that starts looking like this has numbers. Right. Yeah. So if you go turn the page And you'll see there's a number 15 on the next page. Oh, so it says like this, Utruas Melech Bay. Bin Saya Hamachanois, Heim Taikim Trua, Bin Saya Hamishkan. Do you know that when the Jewish people traveled through the desert, they had a very interesting thing that they used to do? Every time they would travel, there were different things that told them that it was time to travel. Remember, we learned about this. So some of the things was that the clouds lifted up. But what was the other thing they used to do? They'd actually blow the shofar. It's interesting. And they blew specifically a trua sound, which is, as we're talking about here, the trua sound of the shofar. This is what this was, a special trumpet that they had. And he says, and what was the idea? And look, this farner says three words, but very powerful. L'simcha sheyagilu b'malkam. The idea of the blowing of the trumpets was to bring them into a state of joy, and what kind of joy, that they should be rejoicing with their king. And that's what he's referring to here. So the word trua here is reyus, friendship. Also re'acha, as we said, also more than friendship, it also has to do with love, chiba, and it also has to do with simcha, joy. So we have all three things. And why are we filled with joy? Because we are in the presence of the king. It says, Oiz v'chedva b'mkaymai. When you are in the presence of Hashem, you have strength and joy. And this is something that goes together, a very powerful thing. That's what a Jew can always be in the state of. Why? How does it lead us to joy? You would think it would lead us to trepidation. It does lead us to trepidation also. But what's the joy? The joy is from the security. Because we all know that when a person feels, the only way a person can feel joyous is when they're secure. When a person is in a state of fear and anxiety, forget it, there's no joy. It brings fear, as we know. That's what anxiety brings fear. Whereas security brings love and joy. And that's what we're saying over here. Truas Melech Bay. This is a nation that literally travels, which means also figuratively travels through their journey of life, knowing that Hashem is with them unconditionally, and therefore they can be in a state of joy. So this is a very powerful thing that Bilam is showing us also. It's interesting because the brachas of Bilam are both saying things that are there, right? But they're revealing it to us. They're making us aware of something that we have intrinsically. So that's the idea also. Very, very powerful thing. I just want to see if there was anything else. Okay, let me just see from here. Okay, I want to show you something else before we go further, because we mentioned before, go to number 9. Let's keep the same page. Let's go down here. There's so many beautiful ones. We'll see next week on more, but I just want to show you a few nice insights before we go further. So number 9. Hahu Amar, we said, does he say and not do? So he says, interesting thing. He says, Pshat HaKosuv Chayzer. I think we might have read that one already, right? Okay. Sorry. Let me just see. Yeah, number 10. Lo Yibit Ofen. Let's see the Eben Ezra. What does it mean he doesn't look at the iniquity, at the sins? He says, Lefi Dati, according to my opinion, it's number 10. Ki Mizayis Hamila Lamad Balak. This is not such a good thing. Out of this whole bracha, okay, and this also happens now. From the most positive, if you're an enemy and you want to find something bad, you can find something bad. Okay, remember, who's listening to all of this besides the Jewish people? Balak. And Balak hates the Jews, right? All he wants is to get rid of them. When he hears these words, that Hashem doesn't see iniquity in Yaakov, so as we said, there's two ways to explain it. The uncle has said simply that they don't have any sin, right? And if they don't have sin, Hashem loves them, and therefore they can't be cursed. So what does Balak think? Balak says, okay, I have a good idea. So the only way to get them is to cause them to sin. That's what he says. And that's where he hatches the plan that he does go through with afterwards. We know, we didn't learn it yet, but the story that he sends out those girls and he causes them to sin. And where does he get the idea? From these words. Because he says, so if they don't sin, Hashem doesn't see them sin, right? But I'll cause them to sin. And I'll cause them to sin so badly that it will be so confronting that Hashem won't be able to look away. So it's actually a negative thing. That's what Eben Ezra says. That's where he learned it from. But I just want to show you a number. Number 11 is a famous one. Bala Turim says, Lo yihibit avayim b'yakov. I don't see sin in Yaakov. So he says, She'ein oisiyos ches and tes b'shmeisam shel shvatim. If you look at the names of all of the tribes, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, it has all the letters of the Aleph Beis except for two. There's no ches and there's no tes. Ches and Tess make the word chet, sin. There's no sin in Yaakov. Fascinating. Such an interesting thing. Okay, obviously representing something, but yeah, what? It's a beautiful one. Okay, never thought about it. No, he takes the Balaturim to help us think about it. Okay, let me just see. The Rashbam says in Isaiah, Lo Hibit, he doesn't look at the sin of Yaakov. So what does that mean? He says, Einoi Reitze L'Einshan Afilu Kishehen Chaitin. What does it mean he doesn't look at? It means he doesn't want to punish them even when they sin. It's like a parent. When you love somebody and all you're doing is waiting for the child to do better because you don't want to punish them. So you don't see it, meaning of course you see it, but you like don't want to see it. You're like hoping it's going to go away. Exactly. You like see it, but you're hoping it's going to disappear. And this is how Hashem looks at us constantly. Now let's see how the Ramban says, and we'll finish with this. The Ramban says, we'll read just some of it. Beautiful, beautiful words. And this is actually going to tie in. Next week we'll see more of this. He says, I'm just going to, did I make a bracket? Yes, he said there's a little bracket on the first column. It's number 12. The first column on the bottom says, Yoyomer hinei beirach lakachti u'o. And beirach, as we said, Baal Hashem says, I have given them bracha and I won't take it away. He says, why? Why won't I take away the bracha? And that's what the next pasuk said as we read. Ki lo hibit avim b'yakov, because I don't see sin in Yaakov. V'lo ra ish b'Yisrael. Oh, he says, ki lo hibit adam b'yakov. I don't see man, and I don't see man amongst the Jewish people. In other words, I don't see anybody avim v'davar kazav that does any sins, and that's deceitful. What does that mean? That does things that are deceitful. What does he mean? So he says a specific type of sin. What type of sin? He says, Ein bitchainam sheker. Now he translates it differently. Ein loy hibit avin biyakov means that I see that the Jewish people, the way they relate to me, is in a way where they are constantly secure with my relationship, which means that not only don't I see iniquity in them, but they don't see iniquity in me. Which is a little hard for us sometimes, because sometimes we do have questions, we have lots of questions, but we know that deep down, a Jew always has bitachon. We have to reveal it, right? So he says, the Jewish people, no matter what they go through, they always trust me. So they'll go through many negative things, and we can see the fact is we're still here. Right, after all, that already proves the fact that we're still here and we still identify, we still try, we still keep up our relationship, right? So what does that mean? He says, Ein bitchainam sheker, their trust is not false. The ein taychalasam nichzav, and their hope is not, how do you say, not deceitful, it's not a lie, it's true. Aval kol berchay seyen u bitchainam yiskaimu la'aylam. All of the brachas and all of the trust that they have, in other words, that they're hoping for, will actually last forever. So it goes both ways. In other words, they constantly trust, and they're good. It is good that they trust because it will happen. Hashem will fulfill what He promises. But we'll see later. We'll develop it more next week. There's also a part of this bracha which shows that the Jewish people also remain loyal. We see Hashem remains loyal to us no matter what. And we also remain loyal to Hashem, no matter what. And this is that's why we call it a friendship. You see, that's how a friendship is. What's a true friend? A true friend puts up with you even when you're not in a good mood. Even you say something not nice one day, they don't say, okay, forget it, I'm not talking to you ever again. They know that something's wrong. And this is what we're saying over here, that this is the relationship. It goes both ways. So Hashem looks at us, we fail, make mistakes, whatever, and He still will give all the brachas, and He still loves us, and and we do the same. We don't understand, we go through difficulties, but as we say, we still retain the trust and the hope and the belief in the strongest way that whatever will happen, it will be good. It's going to happen. Hashem's promise will come through. And as we're talking about underneath, what is the real promise of this bracha? That He is definitely taking us into the land of Israel, and it is our land. This is, as we said, this is the theme of this bracha. We're going to see it more next week, how it comes through. But this is the theme, and as we say, that obviously what we're talking about is that He is bringing Mashiach, which will come in a more revealed way in the next set of brachas, and the last one even more, but that He will bring Mashiach so that the land of Israel will be ours in a way where nobody can question it, where it will be really, you know, in a sense, unconditionally, unquestionably, and in a peaceful, magnificent way. And that's really what we are all hoping for. I'm just wondering if there's any, I'll do one more orally, because it's in one more minute. I'll just tell you orally, the Arach Chaim says beautifully, Lahibit Avin B'Yakov, that's number 14, 13 and 14. He says that the truth is that when a person does a sin, the truth is we know that spiritually speaking, this is the problem. It's like the example that's given is if somebody has a white garment and let's say you have a beautiful white garment and you pour, I don't know, wine on it from Kiddush, it spills. Or especially if you have some pomegranate. But that's actually not a good example because that you'll never get out. But if you get, you just stain it with a little bit of something. You put it through the wash, you use the best, you know, nappy sen, whatever, the best kind, any kind of detergent. But nevertheless, if somebody has good eyes, at the end of the day, you can still see that there was a stain there, right? That's the fact. So technically speaking, when a person does something that's a sin, so we always think of a sin as just not following Hashem's command, but it's not that. What we're doing is we're engaging. When we do a sin, it means that we are doing something that is engaging with the opposite forces, right? With forces which hide godliness, which causes a stain on our beautiful white neshama. So the fact is that what should happen is we should be able to do tshuva because Hashem promised us, but there should remain something. So the Arach Chaim says here, this shows us something, this is a miracle, but Hashem gives us a gift that even when we make mistakes, lahibit avayim b'yakov, it doesn't leave a permanent stain. Even when we do something that's really not good, if we do a proper tshuva, we do have the best detergent. And our relationship, as we said, is not only not stained, but it can even become closer and even deeper and even more beautiful than it was originally. And that's what the Arach Chaim HaKadosh says, that the pegam doesn't remain, the negativity doesn't stick. And that's what it means. He doesn't see avayim, any sin, iniquity on Yaakov. It's not permanent. The only thing that's permanent is good. Bad is not permanent. That's another big thing, just to end off, fascinating, you know, we talk about many times the concept of Gilgulim, you know, that we come back, reincarnation of a neshama. So sometimes people will think, well, if I have a previous neshama, maybe I'm bringing all the negativity, you know, maybe I'm starting with so. So we say that the only thing that's eternal is good. What we have is the help from the neshama that came before, the our neshama that came into this world before. But the negative things that they did, that we don't inherit. So sometimes, obviously, we have to go through certain journeys to do things that they didn't do. In other words, opportunities that they might have missed. But we're not carrying the negativity from the past. That's, as Jews, we don't believe in that. Because the only thing that's eternal is good. Negativity and bad is temporary. And that definitely gets wiped away. So that's a very important thing for us to remember. For us to always remember and always be to be sure of, as we say, to give us that sense of bitachon, both in our, you know, bitachon is also in ourselves that we can. Okay, we're going to stop over here for...